I go to Matthew 7 with me, Matthew chapter 7. Read verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, as a young, when I was a much younger preacher, I was more than ready, willing, even anxious to deal with false prophets and to denounce them and expose them. But the older I get, the more I read God's Word, I tremble at it rather than being so anxious to deal with it. The more you look in the mirror of God's Word, while you see other things, you see yourself. You see your own corruption. And you're more worried about yourself than you are other people. The more light you have, the more you grow in grace, the more light you have, the more corruption you encounter in yourself. You know, I read scriptures about false prophets, and they scare me. They scare me. But I do not, I do want to look closely at God's Word. I do want to examine myself. Scripture says, examine yourself, whether you be of the faith. Know ye not your own selves? I want to know. Don't you? I want to know if I'm a true believer. Listen to these verses here. Our Lord said in John 3, listen to this. He said, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's what the light does. It exposes all the darkness and corruption, all the things. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So you come to the Word. We need, as a church, examine, is this the true church? There's a false church. There are false converts. There are false professions. We're going to look at the house built on the sand today and the house built on the rock. Their houses, they look similar. And what whether one's true or not is what it's built on, and you can't see that. It's unseen. It's a foundation. Well, I do want to examine myself, and you need to examine me. Scripture says, try the spirits, doesn't it? Test them. Our Lord said this. This is His Sermon on the Mount. These are some of His last words. His very last words are all warnings. Warnings. Warnings to His people, to His sheep. Beware. Be wary. Beware of false prophets. And be watching. Be listening. Trying the Spirit. Trying the preachers. Preachers, the profession, so-called profession of preachers, is the only profession, I believe, in the world where there are more of them than lawyers. There are more of them than lawyers. And they're more dangerous, a whole lot more dangerous. There's so much written about false prophets. Would you look at the margin? If you have a Cambridge Bible, a margin, a reference, center reference, it says in verse 15, beware of false prophets. You look over in the margin, the little letter, beware, and it gives, do you see how many scriptures? That's just a few. That's just a few. But there are about 15 or 18 actual verses, and that's just a few. Couldn't fit them all on here, I thought. So many. Why does the Lord give so much warning about false prophets? Well, I'll give you a few reasons. Number one, there are so many. Because there's so many of them. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Moses, the few true are few. And the false are many. It's Moses, Aaron, Joshua, basically. Was it, wasn't it? There's 70 judges, but that was it. How many of Pharaoh's wise men were there? How many of the sons of Korah were there? A bunch of them. Elijah. You remember when Elijah came to Mount Carmel? He was one man. And there were 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. That's 850 false prophets and one man. And all the people thought there's no way that one man could be right and 850 be wrong. That's what the people thought. But they were, weren't they? They were. So there's so many. So many. That's why. And the reason the Lord gives so much warning about false prophets is because they're so subtle. They're so subtle, so deceptive. Scripture says, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They are so deceitful, they deceive themselves. That's pretty cool. Deceitful and pretty tricky. Our Lord said this. He said, Satan, lying signs and wonders, and his prophets and so forth are so, they bring forth such, that what they do is so subtle and so deceptive that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. And we're going to see in a minute how that, I know many of you, if not most, have heard men say some good things. Bad men say some good things. And why does the Lord say so much about false prophets? Because there's so many, because it's so subtle, and because it's so dangerous. Beware. So dangerous. As I said, it's a profession, only one more than lawyers, and it's the only profession without regulations, only profession without required credentials. God has them. God's regulating. God has His credentials, but men don't. There are no tests. There are no examination boards. There are no judges. They don't answer to anybody. Anybody and his brother and even his mother can go out and say, I'm a preacher. And people fall for him. That's how dangerous they are. So dangerous. That's why we're told to try them. Put them to the test. How? Right here. It's more important who your preacher is than who your physician is. Because it's more deadly. It's eternally. If you got a quack doctor and he kills you, if you believe Christ, then you just go to be with the Lord. Okay. If you got a quack preacher, you lose your soul. And why does the Lord say so much about false prophets? Because He clearly, in the Word, exposes them. He leaves no doubt to us, His people. He's not going to let His people fall, a stranger's voice, and not going to hear it. And He clearly exposes them, and He proves the truth. He proves the true ones, so that you'll know who to follow. There must be heresies among you. Listen. There must be heresies among you, that they which are approved might be made manifest. You don't want to follow a false prophet, but you do want to follow a true one. You must. If you're a sheep, You will. You have to. That's what sheep do. That's what sheep do. God gives under shepherds, and the people follow them as they follow Christ. You're not following a man, but you're following his leadership. And if he's pointing you to Christ, that's who you're following. Not him, but who he's pointing you to. All right, now look at it. They're not known outwardly. They're not clearly seen. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7 is where we are. Sheep's clothing, verse 15. They're not known outwardly. They're not known by their dress. They're not known by their dress, the way they look. You can't, although I can pretty much spot one, a free will preacher a mile away. I can smell him. Can't we, Dad? There's a fella one time, Brother Cody and I went to preach for a man, and you know who he is, down in North Carolina, a young preacher who was just so ignorant. And he had another fella come in from down the street. And boy, Cody and I spotted him just as soon as we saw him. Another preacher. He had a toupee on. Boy. I knew it immediately. Sham-haired preacher. Donnie used to preach against, he said when he was in Pentecost, and he'd preach on short-haired women, short-haired women and sham-haired preachers. Well, anyway. Why did I say that? Why did I get off on that? Anyway, you can't spot them by their dress, necessarily, or their speech. The speech. Some of them, their prayers sound good. They're very moral. They're outwardly moral. Can't find anything wrong with their outward life. Can't. But the Lord says they're in sheep's clothing. Now, this is what our Lord says is very, very particular, very, very revealing. In sheep's clothing. That is, they're disguised. They're wearing a disguise. Our Lord said of the Pharisees one time, warning the people of the Pharisees, beware of them. He said they're whited sepulchres. They look good. But he said on the inside, full of extortion and excess, dead men bone, whited sepulchres. They look moral. They look upright. They sound sincere. They look true. But appearances can be deceiving, can't they? There are millions and millions of people that follow a little shriveled up man in Rome who is a wicked, wicked, wicked man, an antichrist. Not the, but an antichrist. He wears white, he's got a smile on his face, and he just wouldn't offend anybody for anything. He's such a sweet, sweet fella. He's an evil man. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 over there. Sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians 11. This is significant. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Eve was deceived by the devil himself. And incidentally, Adam was not deceived, Scripture says. The woman was. What is religion made up mostly of today? Women. That'll tell you something. That'll tell you something. It'll tell you a lot. Read on. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Righteousness. Morality. Righteousness. And I'll tell you whose righteousness they're talking about. And I'm talking about Christ. I'm talking about man's and their own. But sheep's clothing, here's something about sheep's clothing. Have you ever Well, those of you ladies who knit, some of you knit with wool, lamb's wool. It's real soft, isn't it? That's the nature of wool, sheep's clothing. It's real soft and it's oily. Isn't it? Isn't it, Erlen? It's oily. It's real soft and it's oily. These men, these false prophets, are soft in their speech, in their manners. They're soft. Women like soft. And they're soft in their doctrine. They wouldn't dare offend anybody. Wouldn't dare offend anybody. I've said this before. Beware of a man, a preacher, whose hands are softer than your wife's. I mean that. He's never hit a lick in his life. I wouldn't follow a man like that. Soft. No offense. Soft. Smooth words and fair speeches. Good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Soft. Hirelings are going to tell you smooth things. Prophesy unto us soft things, smooth things. We'll fill your pockets up. We'll fill that church building up. Just tell us what we want to hear. Soften the message. Take off the offense. Don't offend anybody. That's a hireling. It's a hireling. You know what the people said of the Lord? These are hard things. Who can hear it? The men of Judah. There were the men of Judah and the men of Israel. And it said of the men of Judah, their speech was rougher than the men of Israel. People were offended by the true prophets. They were offended by the true apostles. They're offended by true pastors and teachers. But nobody's offended by false prophets except God's people. Sheep's clothing, soft. Yet inwardly, he says, a ravening wool. Ravening wool. Ravenous. That's the word, ravenous. Can't get enough. Ravening wool. It devour, our Lord said, it devour widows' houses. In other words, money is behind it all. That's the root of all evil. That's the love of money is the root of all evil. Ravening wool. King Saul is a prime example. We studied 1 Samuel all the way through, every verse. King Saul was outwardly beautiful. He was a beautiful man. Handsome man. Tall, handsome. Stood head and shoulders above everybody else. The people loved him. They admired him. He was strong, courageous, up until Goliath came along. But the people followed him. They fell for him. He was an evil man. Saul was an evil man. And it went on. I almost had you turn, but in 1 Samuel 8, it says he'll take your sons. He'll take your daughters. He'll take a tenth of everything. He'll take, he'll take, he'll take, he'll take. And it says you'll be his servants. He won't be your servant. You'll be his servants. And then David came along. Ruddy. He didn't look like king material. But what did David do? He's a man after God's own heart. He gave. He gave. He gave. He didn't take anything. He gave. He gave. He gave. That's how you know. Our Lord said of these false prophets are greedy dogs. They can never get enough. It's never enough. You know them, look verse 16, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? You don't go out to out in the scrubby thicket in the thorns and find any grapes. You don't go out into the thistles and thorns and thistles and find figs. They're on good trees. They're on good vines. Vine. Only fruit only come from a vine. A good tree. How does he say that false prophets are known? By their doctrine? Is that what he said? By their fruits.
by their fruit.
And, you know, it goes without saying, really, that if a man came along and preached absolute heresy, God's people are not going to fall for that. He's warning His sheep. He's warning His people. He's warning us. Right? It goes without saying, if a man, you know, Satan didn't come along and say, I'm the devil. Satan didn't say, no, I don't believe in God. Or, no, God's word is not true. No. Didn't come right out with a lie. Just a little twist of it. No, he said, you'll know them by their fruits. And he said, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The Father didn't plant it. And it's going to be burned, and by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. All right. Now listen. By their fruits. The first thing we must ascertain is if that man himself is a good tree. That's a good man. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to young Timothy, who he instructed all through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus in his letter. And he said this to that young man. He said, a husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. He must first be a partaker of the fruit, partaker of the divine nature. He's got to be born of God Himself. He's got to be born of God, born of the Spirit, born of the incorruptible seed. What's that? The gospel. He himself has to be a sinner saved by grace. This is what Paul said in writing to the Galatians. He said, I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't receive it from man. The gospel I heard and believe and what I preached to you, God told me. God revealed Himself to me. When it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. It's a man that is first partaker of the fruits. Goes without saying, should, that this man must hear the truth, must hear the gospel, and be convicted of sin himself. Be a broken hearted sinner needing mercy, seeing Christ as all. And like Peter and James and John and all of them, they said, we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. So what are they speaking? This is how you know. Who did they hear? Who are they talking about? Who are they preaching? Christ. That's how you know. That's who they heard, and that's who they want you to hear. And that's who they saw, and that's who they want you to see. That's who they are like. They took notice that these men had been with the Lord Jesus. They were like Him. They were like Him. They were once offshoremen, you know, longshoremen, fishermen, rough, gruff. Man, oh man. If you'd have known, you know, some of our brethren, including me, before the Lord did anything with them, you wouldn't have had anything to do with them. But they themselves are partakers of the divine nature. That man, here's how you'll know too. That man will be a sinner. He will be a sinner. He'll never lose sight of that, and he'll never let you think otherwise. He'll never let you think he's anything other than a sinner saved by grace. You'll never feel uncomfortable around him. A true prophet must himself first be a member of the church. True preacher. He himself must first be a brother. A lover of the brethren. He himself must be a sheep. A follower. A follower. Before he can be a leader. Can't be it. God doesn't turn out preachers from seminaries. That's not what it is. No. just as He chose His Son from among the people, so does He choose His preachers. They're just like them, sinners. Saves them by His grace and begins to mold them, shape them, conform them to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, fruits. Here's the principal meaning. A good tree brings forth good fruit. The corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Good doctrine? Yes. A good tree will bring forth good doctrine. Good methods. Good methods, yes. But what the Lord is talking about here more than anything else is converts. People. They came to the Lord one time and said, are you saying that? What are you saying? And He said, ask them to hurt you. Okay. You'll know. You'll know by those that hear them. Ask them that heard me. And a good tree will bring forth good fruit. Not He Himself doesn't produce it. You know, I don't have to clarify that, do I? Nobody is saved by anything a preacher says or does. Nobody is saved by one word that comes out of a preacher's mouth. They're saved by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. They're saved not by preaching, but by preaching the Word. It's the Word that saves people. It's God's Spirit that saves people. It's Christ that saves people. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, you know, people were getting in a preacher contest. Oh, we like Paul. We like Apollos. He said, that's so carnal. What is this, a ball game? Choosing up sides? Oh, I like this fella. I like that fella. Paul said, they're nothing. They're all a bunch of nothings. Planting and watering, God must give the increase. Christ died for you. Paul didn't die for you. No, those men don't do anything. But they're conduits. They're what the means the Lord uses. They're the instrument the Lord uses. We don't despise the instrument. We don't reject the instrument means. We're thankful for it. And God makes them known. Well, but here's the thing about it. If that man's a true man, and if he's preaching Christ, the people that are saved through him preaching Christ will show it. They'll reveal it. They'll be known. There'll be a people that believe God. They'll believe God's God. Every one of them. Every one of them. They'll know God's God. Did you read the article in the bulletin this morning? All of God's children are taught of God. They're taught through a man. But they're taught by the Spirit of God. They'll all know that they're sinners. Boy, will they know that. Because He'll keep reminding them. Sinners. They'll all see that Christ is all. They'll all need Christ. This is just basic right here. Basic. They all see Christ as their all. All their righteousness, all their hope, all their salvation, their mediator, their substitute, their everything. They're all and in all. Yes, they will. There will be no doubt whatsoever in any person's mind and heart whom God puts under a true preacher what their salvation is or who. No doubt. They will love Christ. And they'll love each other. They'll be like Christ. They'll be merciful. They'll be loving. They'll be true. As opposed to those who are ignorant of the true God. Ignorant of themselves. Ignorant of the Word of God. Now, I run into them. You do too. People all over who go this place and that place. If you want to know the man preaching, what he is, ask them that hear him. And you do, and I do, we talk to people all the time, and if they're talking about God like He's a man, that's a false prophet in their pulpit. Right? If they're talking about Jesus, that He died for everybody, didn't really save anybody, He wants to and can, He tried and He failed, and He's just standing outside your heart's door, that's a false Jesus. That's another Jesus, and the man in the pulpit is a false prophet. That's easy. Clearly. You'll know them by their fruits. You know them by their fruits. Now, I went to a place, Brother Greg Elmquist and I went to a place that was supposed to have been a grace church. And I'm leading into a really solemn question here. Went to a place that was supposed to be a grace church, and the leading men, and now understand me here, wouldn't want to offend anybody, but the leading men in that church, all of the leading men sat on the very back row. Just as far as they could get away from the preacher. And they sat there like this with their arms folded. Incidentally, that was a church that never supported any missionaries. Never. In the 18 years that this preacher was there, not one missionary. Never supported a missionary. When we were there, there was not one child, not one teenager, not one young person in all the congregation. And the leading men sat on the back row with their arms folded like this, like, tell me something I don't know. They were staunch Calvinists. They believed sovereign grace. And they sat there like that. They weren't receiving the word as little children, but as Pharisees. And making a man an offender for a word, ready to pounce on false doctrine. And they did. They got a man down there, a precious, sweet, kind man who sacrificed everything to go preach to him. And they ripped him asunder. And I think you know who I'm talking about. You know them by their fruits, what they produce, the people, what they're like. That's how subtle it is. You see what I'm saying? The devil. You believe there's one God? The devil believes that. He believes in the sovereignty of God. The devil believes salvation's of the Lord. He knows it is. Now, here's a question, a very solemn question. Can a false prophet preach the truth? True doctrine, the truth. Well, the Lord did not say you know him by the doctrine, did he? He did not say that. If you'll read Balaam's messages, you won't find one thing wrong, anything he said. I just did. I did it again. I read it all again. He prophesied of Christ coming. He said, I won't take your money. I'm not a hireling. But he was money. He was an evil man. He was a corrupt man. The Lord warned of Balaam over and over again. Beware of Balaam. Reward. Money. He said the right things for money. Balaam. He didn't preach false doctrine, but he was an evil man. Judas Iscariot. This is how serious this is. Judas Iscariot was one of the apostles. And he was sent out preaching. And they were sent out by twos. And I don't know who went with him. Judas and John. Judas and Bartholomew. Judas and Thomas. I don't know. But the other one never suspected Judas for a minute. Apparently he was preaching the right doctrine. But he was an evil man. You see why? How important this is. Can a false prophet preacher preach the truth? Yes. But nobody will be saved under it. Turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. King Saul, I told you about King Saul. It says he prophesied. It says the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Read it for yourself. 1 Samuel didn't jot it down. I think it's chapter 9. But Saul prophesied, preached. That means preach. He was an evil man. Saul, King Saul, preached. The Spirit of God came on and he preached. And the people were astonished. They said, is Saul among the prophets? Saul wanted David dead. He wanted Jonathan dead. He wanted the people. He was evil and cruel to the people of God. He split Israel right down the middle. But he was preaching. There he was preaching that day. Saul of Tarsus. Had you known Saul of Tarsus? He preached the law. Every jot and tittle, buddy. He was true to the law. He was blameless concerning the law. He was an evil man. Saul of Tarsus.
but God. Turning him to Paul, the apostle. Then he said, then he quit preaching the law, Ty. He quit preaching the law. What he said about the law was by the letter. Salvation not by the law. Not by the law. He quit preaching the law then, except to convict people and point them to Christ. No one is truly saved under a false prophet. I heard one time. Now, folks, I've heard a lot of preaching. I'm not an expert, but I do know preaching when I hear it. I do know the truth when I hear it. I better. And you do too. I heard Jimmy Swaggart one time. Jimmy Swaggart preached on God being just and justifier. Darvin Pruitt heard the same message too. Brother Darvin heard it too. We were astounded. We were astounded. We both thought, I can't believe what I'm hearing out of this man. Such an obvious evil man, but he's doing it. Why? Why? Well, nobody's saved under Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. Of that you can be sure. Well, why did God have him preach the truth? To make everyone accountable. To make him accountable. Have they not all heard? Yes. Even Balaam said it. God can speak to an ass. But Balaam wasn't saved by that ass, was he? But he heard the truth. He said, you're contrary to me. He didn't believe it. Didn't fall down and ask for mercy. I heard, Mindy and I heard, we were somewhere, turned on the TV, and heard Billy Graham in 1957, I believe it was. They call it the Billy Graham Classic Sermons. Man, you can't see through that fraud. You are blind, aren't you? Any man that would allow himself to be idolized like that, pictures of himself praying, and a book, Just As I Am. Wow. Protestant Pope. But anyway, we heard him in 1957 preach a message, and we were both astounded. We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it. We both thought, do you hear what he's saying? We agreed with everything he said. Of course, at the end, he tore it all down by, now what are you going to do with it? Well, if you just receive Jesus, will you accept? Jeremiah 23, how vital is it? How important is it? Well, our Lord said, beware, because they're so dangerous. There's so many. They're so subtle, so deceptive. Jeremiah 23, it says in verse 32, he said, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. Do tell them, cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Now, no lie is of the truth. No liar either. Read on. He says, I sent them not. I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, you have this? They shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. What more do we need? Do we need another scripture? No. How shall they preach except they be what? Sent. How shall they believe without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, somebody will argue this. And there's not one example in Scripture of one person saved under Balaam, one person saved under Judas, one person saved. You won't find them. It's not there. You weren't saved under a lie. You aren't saved under a liar. Argument. Here's an argument. So, being saved depends on the preacher. He's got to be saved. If I heard the gospel from him, he's got to be saved. Well, if you really heard it, no, salvation is not dependent on the man. It's dependent on the God-man. Salvation is not dependent on
who you hear it from necessarily, but it's hearing the truth. It's by the Spirit of God, being born of God, hearing the truth. But the fact is, and I just quoted to you, our Lord said they won't profit the people at all. And they can't preach except they're sent. And God says of false prophets, I sent them not. I sent them not. I sent them not. And what we need to do is quit defending a man. Quit trying to figure out, defend men. And what a lot of people are doing is trying to defend an old profession of faith they made. I was saved under Billy Graham years ago. No, you were not. No, you weren't. They're trying to figure out when we were saved, too. That's bad. Trying to figure out when we're saved. Well, God, our Lord Jesus Christ commended John the Baptist. He commended his true preacher. That's what he does. You'll know them. He denounced and exposed false preachers. Now, the Lord is not going to condone a false preacher. He's not going to commend. He's not going to give credibility to a false preacher. He's not going to do it. He doesn't do it. True men, good men, bring forth fruit, good fruit. Can true men err? All right, here's the last thing. 1 Corinthians 3. Go over there quickly, and I close with this. 1 Corinthians 3. Can true preachers preach error? Yes. I just read one of the old Puritans, probably the greatest theologian ever produced by England. I'm not going to say his name, but he believed in infant baptism. And that's just error. It's just error. Now, here's the thing. If this man is saying you're saved by infant baptism, or no one's saved unless they're baptized an infant. Now, that's heresy. That's heresy. That's false doctrine. But error is wrong about that. Wrong about that. But a true preacher cannot preach heresy. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit. Good fruit. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. And I was talking to a brother who heard the gospel under a man that I believe is a gospel preacher, but the man just got off on other things. Didn't preach heresy, mind you. Didn't preach false doctrine, but just got all caught up with all sorts of other things. Wood, hay, and stubble. All right, I read this. And so this believer was worried because that's who he heard. And I've heard the man preach it too. Blessed by it. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation. Now, here's a man. There's a foundation. He's building on it. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's the gospel. That's Christ. Wood, hay, stubble. That's other stuff. Anything other than or in addition to Christ. Every man's work will be made manifest. Verse 13. The day shall declare it. It will be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work. He's talking about preaching. Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. But it's going to be a fiery, awful thing. I've known men to leave the ministry. Every man I know, every true preacher has wanted to and tried to. Right? Wanted to and tried to. I've known some to do it. Does that mean they're evil men? No. But scary, isn't it? It ought to be. Because it's serious. That's why the Lord said, beware. Beware. Try them. Put them to the test. You'll know them by their fruits. Fruits. And we're going on here in the next hour to look at the foundation that's laid. You watch a man build. You watch a man build.
And the first thing you need to look for is the foundation. Every message he preaches, you're going to hear the foundation.
That's how you know. That's how you know. Okay.